You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Sunday night, Tom Brady in New England. You can see all the action, and you can watch on NBC and Peacock. And we've talked about prop bets. There are prop bets about Brady and Belichick hugging, embracing. Brady, Belichick, shake hands. Brady, Belichick, shake hands, embrace. Brady, Belichick, no touching. Brady, Belichick, high five only. Yes, you can actually bet on these. I'm going to go Brady, Belichick, hug slash embrace at the end of the game. A bro hug counts in this situation. Now, we have a bet. Paulie has a bet with Tom Curran, who covers the Patriots. And I think he said hug. What did you go with,
Paulie? I said no hug, no possibly hug. A handshake and an arm grab.
I think you might see Gronk and Belichick have more of a bro hug, and that might be initiated by Gronk. But Brady, Belichick, are you rooting for a hug? Are you rooting to put this to bed? I can't imagine it's pregame. Because pregame, I'm going out there and I'm going into battle. I'm not here to be nice, but Robert Kraft is not going to be there on the field at the end of the game. He'll be there prior to the start of the game. And when Brady comes out, does he run the full length of the field, get to the end zone, and then yell, "Let's effing go," which he always does? And then does he eventually seek out Robert Kraft? I think they have a hug. But then is Belichick in the proximity? Therefore, it's like the greeting line at a reception, wedding reception. Just go down, you know, does he, Josh McDaniels, Bill Belichick, all right, yeah, good game. All right, good luck. Yeah, okay, good luck, good luck, good luck. And then that's it. We're done. Yeah, Paul.
And do the Patriots fans give him a pregame ovation, like a thank you?
Sure.
Then once the ball is kicked, it turns into you're the enemy.
Yeah, it should. I mean, I think if you're a Patriots fan, you would want Brady to do well, but you don't want him to win. But I don't know if you root against him as much as you're not rooting for him. Seton O'Connor, Patriots apologist, how do you feel?
Yeah, I think that's, you nailed it perfectly.
All right.
You want him to do well, but you're not necessarily rooting for
too,
him, although I might be.
Too well. Oh, you're going to root for Tom?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I kind of do root for Tom, yeah.
All right. Lane Kiffin is going to join us, the Ole Miss head coach. He's got Alabama in Alabama, Tuscaloosa, coming up this week. And let's see, what else do we have? Oh, you know, Michael Wilbon called out Lane Kiffin. So I'm watching Pardon the Interruption. And I know that we were going to have Lane Kiffin on. And all of a sudden, Wilbon says, Lane Kiffin's a clown. You know, wherever he's gone, you know, hadn't done anything. I'm going, I don't know if Mike knows what he did at Alabama. And then Florida Atlantic, he did quite well. And then last year at Ole Miss, he did quite well. I got to ask Lane Kiffin. Now, you can say Tennessee, Oakland, USC. Okay. But I think Lane Kiffin sort of revitalized his career being the offensive coordinator at Alabama. So I'm going to ask him about this Wilbon stuff. Because he went back at Wilbon, sort of. And I got to ask Lane Kiffin, what do you say if somebody asks you about the USC head coaching job? Are you interested in that? And he might have the best quarterback in the country, Matt Corral. Mike, wasn't Corral a USC recruit?
I think he committed.
Committed?
Maybe committed, but he was supposed to. He's an LA guy, so.
Yeah. So Lane Kiffin will join us coming up. McLovin has an against the grain. And I thought, I'm going to put him to the test. Can you give me five good reasons why we need to watch tonight's Bengals-Jaguars? And McLovin said, I can't give you five. He said, I can give you 10. Hit the music, Satan.
So I am channeling Indiana native Dave Letterman with a top 10 Letterman-style list. Okay. But I'm going to start with this sort of trivia. Number 10. Tonight is the inaugural Ring of Honor at the Cincinnati Bengals Stadium. They are honoring four great Bengals, players or coaches.
All right.
Dan, can you name all four? These are old-timey, great, the greatest Bengals.
Kenny Anderson.
One.
Anthony Munoz.
Two.
Ken Riley.
Oh, forget it. Move on. Number nine. That was the one you weren't going to get.
Ken Riley should be in the Hall of Fame.
You're telling me if you ask the average person, who are the four people in the Ring of Honor? It's Ken Anderson, Paul Brown's on there, Anthony Munoz, and Ken Reilly?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
The Rattler.
I owe you another lunch. Okay.
Did I get them all?
Yeah, those are the four. Well, you didn't say Paul Brown, but I don't know if you realize coaches were on there. Okay. Number nine. It's already ruined. Okay, this was a team effort. See if you can guess who wrote this one. Urban Meyer grew up as a Bengals fan watching players like Bill Berge and Chip Myers, so this means a lot extra to him. Who would write a line like that to help me out on my top 10 reasons?
Todd?
Who else would bring up Bill Berge and Chip Myers as a reason to watch this game?
Bill Berge, Eagles, right in your wheelhouse.
Oh, God. There. All right. Number eight. The Jaguars are going for history. Did you know this? They could become, after this week and next week, the third team in NFL history to lose 20 straight. They beat the Colts in week one of last year and have dropped 18 in a row since. So they're closing out on history. Interesting.
What are the other teams?
The 76 Bucks,
yeah,
and the 45 Chicago Cardinals,
okay,
are the two worst streaks of all time.
Okay.
Pretty wild. Okay. But the Jags debut a new offensive weapon tonight that could change everything. This is a reason to tune in. He's a tight end. You know him. You love him. Dan Arnold has joined the team.
Not the Dan Arnold.
The Dan Arnold. All right. Better move this along. Number six.
I should have just gone with five.
Yeah, Jamar Chase has 11 catches on the season, four for TDs. Our analytics people ran the numbers. That's 37% of his catches are TDs. Per next-gen stats, he's been targeted on five deep balls. Three he's taken to the house. You know what they call that in football terms, Dan? You know what he's cutting? Top off the muffin. No muffin tops here. Number five, Joe Burrow. He's going up against a Jags O-line that has four sacks in three games. Mm-hmm. Burrow's faced nothing but good defensive lines this year. He's going to tear them apart. Number five, there's an alternative Manning cast. You might not have known this. Not Peyton and Eli, but Larry and Estelle from Poughkeepsie are doing a Facebook Live showing a virtual slideshow of their trip to Cancun.
I think you made that up.
Okay, number four, the Skyline Chili debate on Twitter. Is it chili or is it soup? Anybody want to weigh in here?
It's chili.
Okay.
It's soupy chili.
Number three, Trevor Lawrence has seven picks through three games.
Although, isn't chili soup?
Don't get started. Is hot dog a sandwich? Number three, Trevor Lawrence has seven picks through three games. Only two number one picks ever have had more picks through three games. Can you name them?
Peyton Manning.
One. Also played for Urban Meyer in college.
Dwayne Haskins.
Close. Alex Smith.
Oh, okay.
Number two, and now I'm getting Letterman-ish, why you should watch the Bengals-Jaguars. Number two, your remote is out of batteries. And number one, when the heck else are you going to watch a Jaguars-Bengals game? That's against the grain.
Thank you, McLovin.
Oh.
Wait, did you just hit Seton?
I have no idea what happened there. I'm so sorry. Like a whip. I tried to throw him up in the air.
I almost
chopped Seton's head off.
I hear, oh, no.
Against the Grain, brought to you by Panini America. You can find autographed cards, memorabilia, rare inserts, rookie cards, something for everyone in Panini America packs. Start or continue your collection now at PaniniAmerica.net. A couple of phone calls in here. Michael in Atlanta leads us off this final hour. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Dan. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
So, a few months ago, I get a cancer diagnosis, and I'm going in to see my oncologist, Dr. Miller, who went to Wake Forest Medical School, where my daughter happens to be a freshman this year. And I'm trying to spin a positive on this, and I tell her I'm going to rock my bald head coming into the Clemson game. It's going to be a huge upset. She tells me, you're not going to lose your hair, but we can shave your head for the victory. So I'm looking forward to this. I'm planning my surgery round to get it knocked out right before Clemson come in there. And now NC State has kind of ruined things for me. We're now ranked above Clemson. So instead of this huge upset where I might get a statue on campus or something, it's just we're going to beat an underdog now. So I'm trying to salvage my season and try to make my cancer not such a bummer.
Well, you know what? I would take any victory you can get, Michael, and we wish you well. No matter how big or how small those victories are, you're going to be looking for victories every single day, small ones. Paul in West Virginia joins us. Hi, Paul. Hey, Paul. Hey, Paul. Bye, Paul. Adam in Maine joins us. Hi, Adam. What's on your mind?
6 feet, 240. I was listening to the Big Dad this morning up here, and I wanted to, they played a clip of Brady on the Howard Stern show, and he said that it was partly his decision to call Belichick and not meet him in person because he wanted him to hear it from him before he heard it from someone else.
Mm-hmm.
That it was 9:30 at night and he was so far away. So it, the vibe that I got was he wasn't angry with Bill, or that's what he was portraying, was that he just wanted to say it to his face, well, over the phone, from himself.
Okay.
And before I go, yep. I wanted to say that your show is so professional. Thank you for giving us some time, because after that call, and I was a little choked up. And the gentleman that answered the phone, he's super nice. Great guy.
Thank you, Adam. His name is Marvin. And, yes, Marvin sometimes puts up with more than Marvin should put up, but he does it as a professional. Mark in Maine. Hi, Mark. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dan, thank you so much for bringing up type 1 diabetes and talking this over. Like your caller said, it's huge. The family importance is huge. The community importance is huge. And we're really, the families that are affected by type 1 diabetes are the ones that raise the most money to fight this fight. My son was diagnosed on March 26th of 2008. In 2013, he was a Children's Congress delegate, and he actually testified with the Walkers at the Senate Subcommittee on hearing for the type 1 research funding. It was huge. We got to meet Ray. We got to meet his son. We got to meet his wife. We spoke with the senators, and my son got to represent 160 kids picked nationwide. Quinn was the only one that was allowed to speak. And he was so inspired by this event that he went on to, he just finished a double degree at UMO. He took a degree in bioengineering and another degree in biochemistry, graduated both magna cum laude, worked for Senator Collins in her office. And now he just started his career a couple of weeks ago at one of the largest biomedical engineering facilities in Maine.
Well, thank you, Mark. You should be proud, and thank you for sharing that. Big Jab in Portland. Been a long, long time affiliate of the Dan Patrick
Good
Show.
Station.
Yes. Yeah, we love Portland.
Oh, that's a town.
Great walking.
Great town.
Great walking around town.
Food trucks.
Yeah.
Breweries.
Yeah.
Yep.
Got it all.
Seafood.
Got it all. Pete in San Diego. Hi, Pete. What's on your mind today?
Good morning, GP. Thanks for taking my call. I was calling because the other day you were talking about the carousel of Super Bowl coaches at the Harvard of the Midwest at your University of Dayton.
Yeah.
And I had a stat of the day for you, if you wouldn't mind keying up the music for me.
All right, Seton, hit the music.
So my University of San Diego State University, the Harvard of the West Coast, has produced at least three Super Bowl coaches, Brian Billick, Joe Gibbs, and John Madden, along with Ernie Sanders.
Oh, Pete. The wave got him. The wave got him.
Those are the rules.
Yeah. So
sorry.
John Madden went to, I think he said, the University of San Diego State University. John Madden, Joe Gibbs, and who else was in there?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Just missed it.
Yeah. McLovin, have you heard that stat before?
No, I had no idea. That's like the West Coast cradle of coaches, if that's true.
Yeah, well, Miami of Ohio is supposed to be the cradle of coaches. But I think more big-name coaches have gone either to school there, coached there, played there, than any other school.
Ernie Zampezi was who he got cut off by. Just Googling it now.
Well, he wasn't a coach. But you have John Madden.
Oh, Joe Gibbs.
Joe Gibbs.
John Madden, Joe Gibbs.
And there's one more. Because Dayton has Chuck Knoll, and then John Gruden.
He just said it. I have no idea. Nothing is coming to mind.
Well, you could Google San Diego State Super Bowl winning coaches.
a little niche.
Website. Oh, did he say Coryell?
Oh, well, Eric Coryell didn't win a Super Bowl.
Sure.
Yeah, so you got it's winning Super Bowls. You
know, my Google searching is coming up short here.
Yeah, that's what she said. But, you know, we have Chuck Knoll and John Gruden. Also, former Notre Dame head coach Jerry Faust at the university. And then we had Sean McVay's grandfather, I believe. John McVay was University of Dayton head coach. Yes.
But why Ohio? I've never understood that. Why is all the great coaches from that one spot?
It's just where good people live. It's, you know, good people come from there. Yeah. Hello? All right, we'll take a break. Lane Kiffin will join us. I got to ask him about this beef with Michael Wilbon on Pardon the Interruption. And also, I got to ask him, what does he say when people ask him about the USC job? Does he have unfinished business at USC? I don't think he'll answer, but I'm certainly going to ask. Coming up on 18 After the Hour, this is The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Mercedes-Benz vans built, equipped, engineered to be ready for anything. Go the extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. McLovin, update the poll results, then we'll get to Lane Kiffin.
Which NFL team feels like it's in the most trouble? The Chicago Bears 1, the Jets 2.
Where are the Giants on there?
They're 3rd.
Yeah, because they could start out 0-10, maybe 1-9. Some baseball, the Giants won again, maintaining a 2-game lead over the Dodgers. They have 104 wins this season. And 104 wins, the most in any season since moving to San Francisco in 1958, too shy of the all-time record set by the New York Giants in 1904. Dodgers hit 6 home runs, came back to beat the Padres. The AL wildcard race got even crazier last night. The Yankees lost to the Blue Jays. Red Sox defeated the Orioles. Mariners beat the A's. 4 teams are separated by 2 games in the chase for the 2 wildcard spots. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. Mike in Wisconsin joins us on the program. Good morning, Mike. What's on your mind today?
Hey, guys. Just 2 quick stories. I'll try to keep it quick. My oldest son, he has type 1 diabetes, and being in Wisconsin, lifelong Packers fans, but we've always had a soft spot for Jay Cutler, who famously had type 1 diabetes. And we would watch games, and the announcers would talk about Jay Cutler and his personality, and he's crabby and looks like he doesn't care. And my son would always say, "Dad, his blood sugar is probably high." Because when my son's blood sugar is high, he's the crabbiest SOB you ever met. When it's good, he's a great kid. The second thing is, my other son, I drop him off at school, and we always listen to your show on the way to school, and he's a huge football fan. And I asked him about the Patriots-Buccaneers matchup, and he said, "Dad, I'm taking the Patriots." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, think about it. If you were coaching the other team that I was on," he said, "you would know how to stop me, right?" Just kind of an interesting perspective from an 8-year-old to see that he sees Brady as kind of like Belichick's son. So, thanks, guys.
Thank you, Mike, for sharing that. Yeah, it's one thing to know what somebody's going to do. Teams know what Steph Curry's going to do every single game. They know what James Harden's going to do every single game. It doesn't mean you can stop them. Now, Brady is in an offense that has a lot of weapons. And yes, do you know what Brady is going to do? You know what he's capable of doing? You know what his tendencies are? Yes. But Brady has outsmarted just about every coach at some point in his NFL career. Is he capable of outsmarting Bill Belichick? Sure. Absolutely. I mean, it's a guessing game. You guess. And then you try to counteract what you think they're going to do. Plus, the Buccaneers have more talent. That helps when it comes to what you do with your game plan versus what Bill Belichick's game plan is. A nice little chess match. Lane Kiffin set to join us, the Ole Miss head coach. He'll be in Tuscaloosa this weekend against Alabama. You know, before I talk about that matchup, Coach, I saw where Michael Wilbon said something on Pardon the Interruption, where he was calling you out, saying you hadn't done anything, called you a clown, and you did respond to him a little bit. So where did this come from? What happened with you and Michael Wilbon?
Yeah, it's interesting for a guy that I've never met. So someone sent it to me. I thought it was kind of like, I was like, wow, that was pretty aggressive. I thought it, you know, that was kind of more like a chat room or a, you know, a Tennessee fan or something like that. You know, would say, not a national media member. So, and then people were like, did you do something wrong to this guy? I was like, I never met him. So whatever, you know, I'm sure it increased his ratings or something.
But do you engage with people who are critical of whatever you've done? I mean, how often does this happen? I know Michael was on Pardon the Interruption, but how often do you engage back and forth?
I usually don't. I just said something on Twitter just because it was so aggressive, just to kind of, you know, I've been in a Twitter mood here the last 2 years, and our people love it. Our recruits love it. So I just sent something off dealing with it.
Why is game day not going to be at your game with Alabama?
I don't know. I thought they would, but, you know, going to Athens.
But what do they expect is going to happen in Athens, or what did they expect was going to happen in Tuscaloosa?
I don't know. I don't know how that works. Maybe they've been to Tuscaloosa a million times and didn't want to go back or something. I'm not sure.
I love the fact that you were telling people, stop upsetting Nick Saban. Like, don't say these things. You know, like, you know, he's got issues with his team. How good is that team of the recent teams that Nick has had?
It's great. And like I said, you know, cherry picking didn't mean a negative thing. It just meant, okay, hey, go take the best people, you know, that are out there and fill them, like free agency in the NFL. And, you know, it is a crazy setup because they basically pick first with all the five stars in the draft. And now they got free agency on top of it to go grab a great receiver or a great middle linebacker, you know, if you have a small hole. So now maybe where at times over the years there was one or two holes there, now there's nothing.
But do you think you played a role, or how much of a role, that you, it felt like, opened Nick's eyes to a whole different offense here? Now they're getting that quarterback. They're getting those wide receivers, whereas they used to just get offensive linemen and running backs.
Yeah, I do think that it's not, I didn't open his eyes. I just think our success in going faster and having bigger stats offensively. I mean, I know what it was like recruiting against them, you know, at Tennessee or USC. You know, you weren't going to get a defensive player away from him for the most part. You weren't going to get, like you said, a lineman, running back, but, you know, quarterbacks and receivers, you know, you could say, okay, you're going to go there and be a game manager. You know, you're not going to have many catches. Julio Jones, one of the greatest of all times, had like 70 or something, you know? And so then when we go there and Amari Cooper has 128, you know, that really changes how you can not just recruit locally, but nationally. And then you see Najee Harris come from California and Tua, you know, come from Hawaii. And, you know, I think it just opened up a pipeline that now I got to deal with it here at Ole Miss and play them. Here's Bryce Young from California.
How much film do you watch of Alabama?
A lot. Defensive side, a little bit offensively, but, you know, you can't do all of it. But we watch a lot of it. We know defensively what they usually do. They don't change a ton. But, yeah, we watch a lot.
But what do you tell your quarterback? What do you tell Matt?
You know, nothing different than any other game that we play. You know, you got reads, you got to, you know, take care of the ball. You know, this game, different than most games, you just got elite players everywhere. 31, the defensive end. I bet when Elvery's eligible a year from now, you know, will be the first pick of the draft type of guy. So, you know, you don't have very long with the ball. The windows are really tight. You know, it's more like an NFL game. You know, that's what it looks like when you're watching, like, obviously NFL players, but in the NFL, there may be a hole and it closes really quick. You know, you don't have a lot of explosive plays, and that's what it's like.
Who does your quarterback remind you of?
I mean, I'm going to say this, and he's not Patrick Mahomes, but the release points and the arm angles, his ability to throw what 99% of the world can't, you know, is really special.
When did you know you had something special?
Well, we didn't have spring with him. We had like some workouts and just see him throwing the deep ball right away. I said, I didn't know how well he could think, how well he could move at that time, but I knew the guy had an elite arm strength. And so to do what he did last fall and, you know, most yards, I think, in the country without a spring in the new system, you know, says a lot about him.
Talking to Lane Kiffin, the Ole Miss head coach. He's got Alabama coming up on Saturday. Then you host Arkansas. Then you're at Auburn. What was it like when you couldn't coach your team against Louisville in Atlanta? What are you allowed to contribute on game day?
Yeah, you can't once it starts. You know, I was in every Zoom, every meeting, you know, even the pregame meal, you know, via Zoom, that stuff. But once it started, you are not allowed, which really doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Why can you be in a press box, you know, but you can't be on a headset, you know, talking to them when you have COVID? But it is what the rules are.
How bad was it?
It was painful because you're watching TV and it's delayed a few seconds and, you know, you're just not in control, which is very hard for head coaches. You had no control.
No, I meant the illness.
Oh, I got you.
I wanted to start with the serious thing.
I had like two bad days, but that was about it. You know, I'd been vaccinated, which I think helped a lot. And then whatever that IV thing they put in you, some long name that I can't remember, that helped a lot.
How much NFL do you watch now?
I don't really any. I don't know how you can as a coach. You know, you're just every Sunday you're in here getting ready for the next opponent.
Yeah, but I just wonder, are you, and you've talked about this before, we've talked about this, that the NFL is taking from college, not the other way around. But can you see things? So there was nothing you could see on a Sunday in the NFL that you could say that's applicable to my team or I could my quarterback or my coaching staff.
It's backwards now. You know, like we've discussed, we used to do that. We used to have our guys cut up, you know, hey, cut up these different routes and these different things, you know, from the Chiefs or whatever the hot team was. And, you know, we do it a little bit in the off season, but not like you used at all, because it's really backwards. They're a couple years behind us, and you watch the Chiefs, you watch it. They're now running the plays we were 3-4 years ago.
Do you have a scripted answer? So when you're asked about, would you be interested in USC? Like, do you get together with the sports information director or PR people and say, all right, let's just come up with a nice paragraph here. Do you already have that?
I do not, but I can think. This is the first time I've been asked, so I can think of one quick. I've been doing this a lot of years.
Okay, you know, let me ask the question there.
Sure.
Coach Kiffin, are you interested in going back to USC?
You know, I'm fully committed to where I'm at. You know, this is a wonderful place. I love the people here, you know, and any time that we get attention like that, it's just a credit to our players and what they're doing.
Coach, is there unfinished business at USC?
No, I don't even think that way, Dan. I'm just totally focused on our program here.
How do you feel whenever you're on the tarmac, Coach?
Interesting, Dan. I was on the same tarmac and walked through the same FBO this weekend when I went recruiting in LA, and it was very eerie. Same exact one, and there was a little office there to the right, and you walked through the private airport, which is where Pat Hayden walked me in at 3:17 a.m., and so that was a little bit strange.
So you walk by the office where you got fired?
Yes, it was actually just a little coffee room that was in the private airport there.
Is there a chalk outline of you or anything there?
That's kind of funny. No, there's not really caring play. No, nobody even knows football or coaches, any of that stuff.
I respect you can laugh about it.
Sure. You know, everything happens for a reason. You know, you never would have went and worked for Nick Saban had that not happened.
That's true. And, you know, this has become sort of that stopover place for coaches who almost need to revitalize their careers. I mean, is Nick taking in people and knowing that that's what he's helping them with?
Yeah, I think there's two sets. I think there's, you know, the ones he bring in that help him and, you know, and he helps as well, you know, that are offensive coordinate, you know, that are coordinators. And then there's some he brings in, you know, off the field as analysts and stuff like that, just to kind of restart them because they're, you know, down and out or they're still under contract somewhere. So I think there's kind of two sets with that.
It's great to talk to you. Have fun. And can you have fun in Tuscaloosa?
You can have fun if you win.
Well, have fun in Tuscaloosa. Thanks for joining us, Coach.
All right, Dan. Have a good weekend.
That's Lane Kiffin. I didn't know where we were going with the tarmac question, but I could judge Seton's face when I said, is there a chalk outline of you getting fired there?
Oh, dear. He goes, that's kind of funny.
Yeah, well, you can laugh about it now. Dear. You know, you got a good team. You're playing Alabama this weekend, and USC's looking for a new head coach. Would USC reach out to Lane Kiffin? Let's pose that question on Monday or Sunday if he beats Alabama. But I don't see that happening. I still hear James Franklin, Mario Cristobal at Oregon. But there's a long way to go in this job search because you fire Clay Helton so you can get a head start. So now every coach, every agent for these coaches knows we have some time here and you're going to be submitting resumes here. That's what's going to happen. And if you don't get the job, or you're not, you can get a raise at your current, college. That's how this works. It's like, please have somebody mention me for the USC job. Like, and then you go into that press conference and you're like, oh, I don't want to answer these questions. You know, I'm here. I'm committed. I'm dedicated to being right here. Then part of you privately is going, yes, I'm going to make more money. Last call for phone calls. What we learn, what's in store tomorrow. Take a break. We're back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right now on the menu, that feels autumnal, Paulie?
Oh, yeah. Foliage. Yeah. That apple in there? Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. James in Cincinnati. Hi, James. What's on your mind today?
What up, DP? 6'1", a slender 190. Mm-hmm. So I got two things for you. First question is, right now, if they were in the same class, who would you take, Joe Burrow or Trevor Lawrence, number one overall?
That's a great question. I don't think it's fair to ask that question without giving Trevor Lawrence at least 10 games this season. Because Joe Burrow had, 9 last year? He's got 3 so far this year. I'd have to see a little bit more of Trevor Lawrence right now.
Okay, that's fair.
Okay.
Now, second off, I wanted to list some coaches. You guys were talking about coaches that came out of some colleges in the Midwest, just in Miami, Ohio. Now I want to go to my Cincinnati Bearcats. John Harbaugh, Super Bowl winner. Mike Tomlin as well came out of UC. And then on top of that, I got a question for you and the boys. I want to put up a shower of shame for my Bearcats. Does anybody want the Fighting Irish this weekend?
All right. What's the point spread there? By the way, did John Harbaugh play at Cincinnati or did he coach at Cincinnati?
He coached.
All right. Well, Chuck Knoll and John Gruden went to the University of Dayton as students. That's what I'm talking about. Not coaching there, because you can have a ton of assistant coaches. I'm just talking about two guys who went to college there. So that's a little bit different. I think Harbaugh went to Miami of Ohio, didn't he? James?
I'm not positive on that, Dan.
Okay. All right. Well, does anybody want a piece of Cincinnati in South Bend against Notre Dame? McLevin?
No, I'm just confirming that John Harbaugh did go to Miami.
Yeah, he went to Miami of Ohio. Another great coach who went to Miami of Ohio. Okay, what's the point spread?
It was Cincinnati given 3. Now Cincinnati's given 1.5.
Oh. Does anybody want to take any action with James? James, you have no takers right now. I think people are a little nervous with the Bearcats coming into town.
Well, Well, I will say this, Dan. The last thing I'll say, I will be using the Dan Patrick flask in the South Bend, since the good old Catholics up there do not serve booze.
Yeah, I know. We went on campus and we're like, wait, can we get a beer? Remember how thirsty we were for a beer when we went to the USC game?
It was like we had been crawling through the desert.
I know.
It's like, I just need a beer.
And then all of a sudden, it's like, you know, I had to play the Dan Patrick card just to see if we could get into a tailgate and they could we could get a beer. And then all of a sudden, it's like 20 people came rushing out and they started taking pictures. And then they said, come on, you got to do a fireball shot. I said, I'll do a fireball shot, but we're not taking pictures here. And then I said, all I want is a beer. And so I think we crawled away from a tailgate with a beer. That was it. I for some reason, thought you could get a beer. It'd be readily available. And it wasn't. Paulie did push-ups with the cheerleaders in the towards the end zone after a touchdown. And you see somebody doing push-ups, and all of a sudden I turn my head to look the other way, and then I turn back, and Paulie's on the ground doing push-ups. And he's got his flask out, too.
Push-up number 5, I was like, we got to get 7 of these? Can we cut it to 5?
We need to do that again. Go to South Bend. Although, you know, we went in style, and then somebody got on the plane and initially was ready to throw up.
At a long night before,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, a USC grad had a long night before and then got on the plane, and he goes, hey, hold on. And he went back, ralphed, and then came back, and then, you know, to be young. Yes, McLovin.
Was it Leinart or Sanchez or one of our media friends from USC?
No.
I don't think they graduated. Anyway.
No, it was just a student, a former student that went there, graduated from there. Somebody close to me. It's like, dude, you wanted to go see your alma mater. And the first thing you do is you go out the night before, and then you get on the plane, and then you're ready to throw up.
You clear the decks, you get ready for another day.
Yeah, yeah. This day in sports history, Paulie.
1927, George Herman Ruth hit his 60th home run of the season, broke his own home run record. Yeah. His record stayed stuck until 1961 when Roger Maris took it down. In 1973, I don't think a lot of people knew this. I know you do, Dan. Hank Aaron finished the season one short of Babe Ruth's record of 714 home runs. So you had to wait the entire offseason. He broke the record in the first month of the 1974 season.
Yes, he homered in Cincinnati, wanted to sit out and break the record in Atlanta, and Bowie Kuhn wouldn't let him. So Hank hit a home run off Jack Billingham. And then I think he wanted to sit out the next day and go back to Atlanta, which he eventually did. He played, that next game and then went back and hit the home run off Al Downing. Yeah, Paulie.
So there's basically 4 months of hype leading up to him the next season. Was that a good thing or bad thing?
I think it was a bad thing for Hank because I think there were a lot of people who wrote letters. And, you know, I think that 4 months of buildup, and Hank just wanted to get it over with. Some of the vitriol that he received, letters that were written to him, you know, not wanting a black man to break Babe Ruth's all-time record. And, you know, God rest his soul. But Hank Aaron was a true gentleman. He was. He just was a good man. And I hate hearing that and seeing that and reading about that, the letters that were written to that poor man. And plus, if you go back to that night and he hits the home run, you have two fans who run on the field because these idiots want to be part of the ceremony. Well, there's snipers on the top of Fulton County Stadium because there were death threats against Hank Aaron. These guys could have gotten shot. Like, when you think about it, they had snipers reportedly up on the top of the stadium in case something happened to Hank Aaron. Imagine playing baseball like that. I mean, Jackie Robinson. Imagine going to a game where it's tough enough. Baseball is considered the toughest thing to do. Hit a baseball. You do it 3 out of 10 times successful, then you're an all-star. And he's going to a game. He got worried about his teammates don't like him. The opposition doesn't like him. Fans don't like him. And then you got to go out there and play baseball. Just incredible. Yeah, Todd.
And even before the game back then, you know, your team is going to hotels, restaurants, wherever they want to go, and you're completely segregated and left out, and you can't join them in certain hotels or grab a bite to eat with them because it's just insane.
Anything else this day in sports history, Paulie?
That's it.
Okay. Final results of the poll question, McClubb.
Which NFL franchise feels like it's in the worst shape? It's the Bears. Hang tight over the Jets.
I would consider that a W for you, Paulie.
I'll
give you, as a Bears fan, that's a win.
Do you think Bears fans want to lose to the Lions this weekend because that would exacerbate the firing of the head coach? Serious question. I've gotten that from a few people. Because you lose to the Lions, which is ugly for a Bears fan. Uglier.
I can't speak for the Bears fandom, but it feels like it's inevitable that Nagy is not going to hold on to that job. It'll certainly speed up the process, let's put it that way. Todd, what did you learn on today's award-nominated program?
Ray Allen would help Ben Simmons by teaching him to visualize what he's going to do first. Then Ben has to be willing to learn and rebuild his shooting technique altogether.
McLovin, what did you learn?
I think Lane Kiffin compared his quarterback to Patrick Mahomes.
Yes, he did. Seton O'Connor.
Ray Allen doesn't put the ball in the palm of his hands, Dan.
Yeah, he does. Paulie, what did you learn?
Lane Kiffin, no chalk outline.
Todd, what did I learn?
The Bears still rudderless and lost right now. They can't even figure out who their quarterback is in 3 days against the Lions.
Look no further than the next big thinker. First-in-class technology, a leader in innovation and intelligence not yet seen from an SUV. The 2021 Mercedes-Benz GLE. Learn more at mbusa.com. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Thanks for the phone calls, emails, tweets. Talk to you tomorrow on the program.